Peter Handke's first novel, The Goalie's Anxiety at the Penalty Kick, and his semi-fictionalized memoir of his mother's suicide, A Sorrow Beyond Dreams, were both brilliant. Since then, the Austrian novelist, poet, playwright, and translator seems to me to have been painting himself into a corner and then complaining that he couldn't move. His books got thinner and more exasperating. So what if language itself were the secret hero of listless narratives like A Moment of True Feeling, The Left-Handed Woman, and Repetition? We've been there before, at this impasse, in this trap, in the superior company of Kafka and Rilke and Sartre. I found myself preferring Handke's collaborations with the filmmaker Wim Wenders. At least in the movies, all that language was attached to something I could look at, even if what I was looking at was urban masochism. Handke's latest, The Afternoon of the Writer, is a reproach and a reminder. We go on reading these complicated Europeans through their depressive phases until they finally get it right, and then we're dazzled. A nameless writer in a nameless European city leaves the warmth of his room and his cat for a December walk among the ruins. He crosses bridges, looks into windows, stops at a cafe, reads a newspaper and a letter, meets a couple of colleagues, witnesses an accident. The city itself is language, with its distance and its limits, its concentrated din of traffic coming from all directions, comparable to the region on the fringe of dreams. This city of language assails him with humming and fragments, a hodgepodge of dots and spirals, wavy lines and mutilated cuneiform, musical intervals, whispering sibilants, chords and squeaks and silence. He finds himself in a bar, on trial, accused of lying. His work is charged with being something in which material is next to nothing, structure almost everything, something that rotates on its axis without the help of a flywheel, something whose elements hold one another in suspension, which cannot be worn out by use. He stands for what the crowd detests, daydreaming, handmade writing, dissent, and ultimately art. Against this city, there is another language, his own weather, the seasons of his dreaming. The snow, he thinks, in the air could have been flying seeds. The snow on the ground could have been fallen blossoms. The rounding of the image gave emptiness a radiance. At a deserted playground, a swing still moves in emptiness. The writer watched it until the after effect of the child's motion had dwindled to a mere trembling of ropes in the snowy wind. Emptiness, my guiding principle, my beloved. If emptiness is the writer's beloved, slowness is his illumination. Why, he asks, had no one ever invented a god of slowness? I can't tell you how this writer, out of dreaminess and namelessness, the city and the weather, manages to reaffirm his vocation. He is dreaming this book. I can only tell you that the writer's vocation, a puzzle of the self, a long-forgotten wonderment, has never before been so wonderfully affirmed, not even at the end of Portrait of the Artist as a Young Man. Carry on, he tells himself. Portray. Transmit. Continue to work the most ephemeral of materials, my breath. Be its craftsman.